This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I just had a nice thought, thinking about the beginning of the baseball season. For the last few years, I've had a phone. My phone life has been every few days it got to that point. Like almost every day it was, hey, you need to delete some stuff. And then it would just, it got upset with me. It got sort of tired of asking me. So it would just delete stuff on its own. Like apps would, oh, I don't have this app anymore. And that was always the Major League Baseball app, which I would get excited about this time of year, and then when the season would end, I would delete it because I needed space for like 8 more pictures or something. So I just thought, you know what? Time to upload the Major League Baseball app, and I have a new phone, so I shouldn't be in any rush to delete it. I should make at least the season out of it. So that's exciting. Spring is here. Baseball is here. Mike Wilner is here. Sort of a annual tradition, talking to Mike before the Blue Jays season. Longtime reporter on the Jays, Toronto Star, formerly on the radio broadcast, the Deep Left Field podcast as well. Mike, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm great. It's always great to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
I know that the little space between us on the border seems a lot farther away now than it ever has.
Yeah, you know, hopefully that turns around. I was thinking about, like, this just is what happens when you get older. If you're like me, just think about like how long ago stuff that you remember really was, you know, like the 85 Jays, 40 years since the 1985 Jays. I'm sure that's like, that's what, a team you grew up loving. And I did too, from my side of the border.
Yeah. 40 years. It's wild. You know, the World Series was more than 30 years ago. And most Blue Jays fans don't have living memory of that incredible 85 team and what the run up to that was. And, you know, the 1983 when they were in first place in August after never having finished anywhere but last place in the history of the franchise. It just means we're getting old, but it is wild to think about.
It's similar to growing up as a hockey fan for me, Mike, because I loved the Jays and also the Mets. And really, there was no trouble in that. Different leagues. I could watch both teams, you know, pretty readily. And by 85, they both kind of almost had the same season. They both just missed in 85. And then, the Mets went on to win the next year. But just like the Sabres and the Leafs, different conferences in the 80s, really didn't have to worry about each other. Rarely were both teams good. And that's kind of still been the case for most of their history. But able to root for two teams at once. Good memories of those Jays teams in those years. You know, legendary players.
I still vividly remember, so much about the 86 World Series. But the 86, the National League Championship Series, game six of that series that went 16 innings and an incredible game between the Mets and Astros. And that was 39 years ago, too.
Crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, some fantastic stuff happened a long time ago. And, you know, it's two solid teams to root for sure.
I wonder if it's maybe a little bit of an illusion in some way because, like, you and I right now could go watch that game for, you know, just anytime we want. Whereas when we're growing up, we couldn't watch Babe Ruth. There was no way to watch the 1940s World Series or anything like that. It's just maybe there's maybe some sort of an illusion here that felt like that was really longer ago. And here, because I can watch these games we're talking about as easily as I can watch a game live, I don't know if that makes it weird or something, but it is great to be able to do that, I think, if you're into that.
I mean, I think there's definitely something to that. There's definitely something to the ability to be able to go back and see stuff and make it feel a little bit closer. But, you know, you hear things like, if they were to remake Happy Days today, it would be set in 2004 or something like that. and it's just, that just blows your mind.
Well, let's get current here, Mike. This Blue Jay season coming up, over under at BetMGM 79.5. You know, they're the fifth choice by the betting odds to win the division, the AL East, but it's pretty tight. How do you see it, Mike? Are you optimistic?
I see it as really tight. Like, I honestly believe that any one of the five teams in the division could win it. I've said a couple of times that I think the Jays could be anywhere from a 75-win team to a 95-win team, depending how things shake down. There are no great teams in the AL East. Everybody's flawed. And if things break right, I mean, you don't need as many ifs as we used to think about like 15, 20 years ago for the Blue Jays to be good. But there's no reason, I believe, that they can't have the same kind of year that they had in 22 and 23, which is in the playoff race all year and sort of sneak in the last week.
I know from your recent column at the Toronto Star about the hitting coach that one thing they'll need to do for the Jays to hit that optimistic side of it is hit. Their hitting kind of went away. It was really sad. I mean, the Jays had this exciting young core, and then, you know, Bichette came down and Biggio didn't work out, although Guerrero had a great season. Is that number one on the list of things that needs to get better, maybe a lot better for Toronto, is offense?
Yeah. I mean, they were excruciating to watch the last 2 years. Even in 2023, when they made the playoffs, it was awful to watch. And they, you know, until they signed Anthony Santander in January, it felt like they were tripling down on this whole let's try to prove that you can win a game nothing-nothing thing with the pitching and the defense. Picking up Andrés Giménez, who's the best defensive infielder in the game. So, yeah, they need to hit. Having a healthy Bo Bichette is going to make a huge difference. Having Santander with some thump in the middle of the lineup is going to make a huge difference. Hopefully Alejandro Kirk can get back to being what he was when he was an all-star and a silver slugger. And Will Wagner getting a lot of work can help a lot. And, you know, in Buffalo, you guys know what Alan Rodon is all about, and hopefully he gets a chance to play.
I didn't know or don't know a lot about him Certain names, prospects, I feel like I hear all the time, and Roden was not one, and this is maybe my fault, you know, just not a player I'd heard a lot about until this spring. 916 OPS for Buffalo last year, New Hampshire, and then the Bisons. What have we got in this player?
I mean, in half a season in Buffalo, he hit over 300, he had an on-base over 400, and he had a slugging percentage over 500. So that's everything you're looking for. He's a brilliant kid, like legitimately. He's a rocket scientist. He's an astrophysics major at Creighton. And he can hit. He's got a great idea of the strike zone. He's got a little more than gap power. He knows what he's doing up there, and he's succeeded at every level. I never imagined that the Blue Jays would put him on the team out of spring training. To me, he had like a mid-May call-up written all over him, but they didn't want to dull the momentum of the great spring, and it helped that Dalton Varsho was hurt, and it helped that Will Wagner showed he could play third so that they didn't need to keep Addison Barger. But I think that Alan Roden could be what Spencer Horwitz was for the Blue Jays last year. And this is just a solid average hitter who gets on base with occasional pop, and he can do a lot of things.
Is he an opening day starter?
It's a good question. Maybe. I don't know quite how they're going to – it's hard for me to imagine that Ernie Clement isn't going to start on opening day just because, you know, he was nominated for a Gold Glove and he had such a wonderful year for them last year. So if Ernie Clement starts, then Will Wagner probably DHs, which means Anthony Santander is probably in left field, which means that Alan Roden probably doesn't play. But I think against most right-handed pitchers, you're going to see Wagner at third. And to start the season, there will be a spot for Roden either in left or maybe center or DHing.
Very good. Mike Wilner, my guest. The Blue Jays open Thursday afternoon, 3 o'clock, against Baltimore. First of four with the Orioles to start the season. Guerrero was a story in the offseason in the spring, Mike, you know, not getting the new deal done. Is that just like, as a reporter, you know, commentator is talking about Guerrero, we're all going to be watching, thinking about him and what the future might be, but is this just like off the table as a topic, as a thing this year as Guerrero plays out his deal?
No. No, it's going to be a topic every damn day, I think. Every time the Blue Jays go to a new city,
yeah,
you know, they're going to be asking, hey, would you play here? And you know, the Flames are going to be fanned all season long. Now, Jim Bowden of The Athletic has a story out that says he believes Vlad's going to sign a 15-year, $577 million deal sometime this week. Considering that they were hung up at 500, it's hard to imagine that actually happens. But until a deal is signed, whether that's this week or whether it's in December, it's going to be a story on a weekly basis, if not more often.
In your opinion, have the Blue Jays gone far enough to try to get him signed?
Nope.
No.
They haven't gone far enough until his signature is on a contract. And it's just another notch on the long belt of mismanagement and incompetence by this front office over the course of the last decade. You know, they're hung up at $500 million because the front office doesn't want to go that far, and that's what Vladdy wants. 2 years ago, they could have had him at $310 million. You know, so it's about not having had the confidence in the player to commit to him, and I don't know what other silly holdups there have been, but this thing should have been done years ago.
Guerrero did have a fine season. We went kind of like up and down a little bit with him. Great, you know, when the Jays were playing in Buffalo, and then again back up last year. Is that his ceiling? Like, he's still pretty young, right? Is there more in Guerrero?
I mean, he just turned 26, so yeah, still pretty young. But, you know, 2021, with the OPS over 1,000 and 48 home runs, you think that might be his ceiling, but he did that when he was 21 years old or 22 years old. So honestly, who knows? For me, You know, this is a guy who's on a Hall of Fame track. Even if he keeps going with two great years, two fine years, and one decent year out of every five, his worst season was 2023, and it's still a season that 95% of the players who've ever played in the major leagues couldn't dream of having. So, you know, this guy is really, really, really something special.
Mike Wilner, my guest. What do you expect from Max Scherzer?
No idea. Like, legitimately no clue. I talked to him last Monday after he threw a side session, a live batting practice against some minor leaguers, and I thought coming out of that conversation that he wasn't going to pitch till June, if at all. And then Saturday, I watched him throw, dominate the opening day lineup of the Minnesota Twins over four innings. So, legit, no idea. I said when they signed him that if they can get 20 starts out of him, that's outstanding. This is a guy who only made 9 starts last year and has been on the injured list 5 times since September of 23. But every time he has pitched this spring, he's looked incredible. It really defies any explanation. And every time you talk to him after he pitches, he's like, I don't know, we'll see how my thumb feels tomorrow. And it's really been wild to be a part of the drama and the constant wondering how healthy is he, and then to see him go out and just shove every time. So, every time Max Scherzer is healthy enough to pitch, I think that he's going to give them an outstanding outing.
Speaking of players on a Hall of Fame track, right? Any question about him?
Oh, no, I mean, he doesn't have to throw another pitch in the major leagues
right.
And he's in. Absolutely.
3 Cy Youngs. 40 years old now, Scherzer, signing with the Jays this offseason. What about George Springer? Another guy where you wonder about his age and what he's got left.
You know, it's interesting because watching him, I want to say it was Friday, might have been Thursday, in his first at-bat in a Grapefruit League game, and he was hitting 0-94 going in. And that first at bat, he gets the count to 3-1, takes a pitch that he thought was ball 4. It wasn't. He wasn't confident enough to challenge it. Takes another pitch that he thought was ball 4, and it was called a strike. He wasn't confident enough to challenge it. And he struck out looking, walked back to the dugout, and somebody in the press box whispered, but loud enough for everybody to hear, just retire.
Ooh.
And then the next time up, he hit a 3-run homer. So, you know, I don't know. Spring numbers don't mean anything unless they mean something. He's coming off a year where for 1 month he was the best hitter in the game, and for the other 5 months he was the worst hitter in the game. I don't think you fall off a cliff at 34, so I do think that there's something in there, but I would genuinely be surprised if George Springer was an above-average major league hitter this year. I think he can be an average hitter. I think he can have a much better year than he had last year, and I hope that it comes in the bottom half of the lineup more often than not, but I don't think he's George Springer anymore.
One more guy I'd like to ask you about in this lineup is Bichette. What's the history of it with Bichette? Like, such a exciting prospect, really, you know, again, jumped on the scene and was excellent for the Jays then last year, or it's been rough. Is it injury-related? Because I think I heard he had a good spring.
Yeah, it's all injury-related, 100%. You know, it started in the second half of 2003 when he had the knee problems. Last year, he had more leg problems that cost him half a season. And then, you know, just to prove how snake-bit he was, he came back and he was going to play the last 2 weeks of the year, but he took a ground ball in fielding practice and broke his finger. So that just knocked him out for the rest of the season. But it's 100%. Just been snake bitten with injuries, and I really think that every time we've seen a healthy Bo Bichette, he's been one of the best hitters in the game. You know, this is I looked it up. We were talking about, you know, how long ago things happened, right? there have only been two players to lead the American League in hits 3 years in a row in the last 60 years, and Bo Bichette was on track to join them when he got hurt in August of 23. He had led the league in hits in 21 and 22, and he was leading the league in hits by a decent margin in 23. He missed the last 2 months. He didn't give up the lead in hits until there were like 3 weeks left in the season. So, you know, I see him winning a batting title at some point. He's got to walk a little more in order to do that. But I think that, you know, a healthy and super motivated Bo Bichette coming off last year and going into his free agent year, I think can only be a really, really good thing.
I want to guess Ichiro and Boggs for that, but if it's 60 years, it's probably somebody older.
It was Ichiro and Altuve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then, nobody since like 1962.
Okay.
I think Cesar Tovar or something like that.
Love it. Hey, by the way, Mike, you mentioned the Springer sequence there where he chose not to challenge those strike calls. That they were experimenting with that in spring training, the automated balls and strikes. We've had it in the minors. Do you like it?
I love it. I wish they used it on every pitch. I think you know, I love the human element of the game, and I think the human element is important, but the human element should be about the players being human and their faults and flaws and ability to rise to the occasion, and not the umpire's inability to call balls and strikes. Now, we're not going to have that K-box zone, whatever the hell they call it, when the challenge system is in, because people could cheat. We know we've seen that before. But when that is on the TV, on the broadcast.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The umpires are literally the only ones watching the game who don't know if a pitch is a strike or a ball. I love it. And again, I would use it on every pitch. I don't think that there should be a strategic component to getting the call right. I think you just get the call right. And we've seen that it can happen in real time and wouldn't slow down the game at all.
Boy, that last point is one that I've always agreed with, thinking about the NFL. Like, why should it be a strategy to try to get a call corrected? Let's just do it or not do it. But I didn't really needed it to be to come down to the coaches. But, you know, that's what we've had. The Jays open Thursday at home. The Bisons open Friday at home. Afternoon games both. Mike, great to hear your voice again. Thanks for your time.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Mike Wilner, Toronto Star, his podcast Deep Left Field, as we get going here in the Major League Baseball season. A catcher is going to bat leadoff for the Yankees, which is not maybe like weird anymore or that interesting. But if you don't follow it that closely and you think of, you know, stereotypically, your catcher is not usually, you know, your on base, not always at least, your on base guy who can run. But Austin Wells will be the Yankees' leadoff hitter, their catcher. They open against Milwaukee, I think also on Thursday. 803-0550 for your calls. NFL draft stuff. We were talking about that, of course. Want to do that every day. Trading up, trading down. The One Bills Live guys were in on that, and I couldn't resist. Cody Carpentier on the prospects coming up at 5. Guy who knows a lot. He's been on with us several times. The Sabres are home to Ottawa tonight, pregame at 6. Would love to hear from you next. Lines are open. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
That is always hard. Really well-liked guy and good teammate for all the guys you've mentioned that have been around him for the last 4 or 5 years. And now you're coming back into what was your home building. I always think it's not an easy situation, but a situation where a player always wants to come back in and you know, try to play the best he possibly can.
Lindy Ruff on WGR talking about Dylan Cousins, of course, in town with Ottawa. The Senators looking good for a playoff spot under coach Travis Green. So how many coaches would this have been now, or would this be now for Cousins in his still young career at, what, 23? Just turned 24, so of course Lindy, Travis Green, Granato. Goes back to Kruger, I guess, right? 2021, rookie year. If he played before the firing... Anyway, who cares? He doesn't get booed or anything, right? How do you get booed? You get booed by, like, if you played here, by leaving on your own volition. Of your own volition. Is that the right way to put it? You decide to do it. Even if it really is mutual. That's the perception is you wanted to leave, so we're going to let you hear it. That's not the case with Cousins. His play did really tail off. I don't blame the Sabres for this move. But I'd feel better if I didn't think Josh Norris had an injury, shoulder or whatever it is, that like is why he was traded. And so far, it's kind of felt like that. I mentioned yesterday how they just listed him as undisclosed on their own official PR injury list. Like, I mean, hockey doesn't even, they're never specific. Why can't we just do upper body, lower body? Is it undisclosed because it's shorter than he was hurt when we got him or something? I don't know. I'd like to see, I'd like to not have that headache. 803-0550 is the number. Just had a random thought. Have you decided whether you were happy, you are happy that the Chiefs got destroyed in the Super Bowl as opposed to, you know, losing a close game, right? I mean, most Bills fans were going to have been rooting against Kansas City in that game. We're sick of Kansas City. Kind of everybody is that isn't a Chiefs fan. So, okay, that's fine. Have you thought about what it tells you? If you can even do that about what we've got, that they just got completely manhandled in that game? I don't love it for sort of putting a bow on the Bills season, which, you know, we did a long time ago, 2 months ago or whatever. It's almost the draft now. But I guess I'd feel like, I'm not even sure it makes sense. I'd feel that the chief hurdle, so to speak, is, you know, like more doable. The fact that they got crushed makes me think like the Bills-Chiefs playoff rivalry has really more just been the Bills' inability to execute, to stop them. It didn't make me feel better that they were just trucked in that game by Philadelphia. You know, like the Bills, you come out of the AFC Championship and it's very depressing that they lost again in another close game. But you really know that it's like one or two plays. And maybe it still is. But the fact that the Chiefs went all year struggling as badly as they did on offense, then they get to the AFC Championship. They weren't even really that good the week before against Houston. Like, it was kind of most of their games. They get to the Bills game in the playoffs, and they pretty much just rolled on offense. Then they get to the Super Bowl, and they can't function. I think that says something about me that I don't like. You know, it really does get you back to what are the Bills going to do about all of this offseason, and it feels like, you know, everybody kind of thinks so, that in the draft that will be defense. It hasn't been a ton yet. They drafted, or rather signed, Michael Hoyt, who now has a drug suspension awaiting him, and Ogunjobi, same thing. But there's still more to do on that side, corner most notably. So I think you could look at that Chiefs thing like different ways. But it doesn't feel great to have as good of a season as it was. And of course, the Bills had beaten Kansas City along the way, which, you know, you can't really take too much satisfaction in because of how the playoffs have gone these last 5 years. But to have those two outcomes at the end be what they were, Kansas City's offense wakes up against Buffalo and then goes back to sleep. I mean, big time in the Super Bowl. Not great. I've had this, I've talked about it, this kind of general feeling that the top teams in the AFC, starting with Kansas City, will take a step back in terms of their record. I see it being more truncated. I mean, Kansas City was 15-2, and they did it on the wire the whole season, pulling out all the close games. They won every close game and ended up at 15 wins. Like, what a tough run out for the Bills to not end up as the one last year. You beat the Chiefs head-to-head. You won 13 games, and that's without both teams sat down in Week 18. So still, like, you had 13 wins through 16 games. Kansas City, though, 15. You couldn't even have a chance at them with all their close games. Like, really, that was a tough result for the Bills last year. Franchise record in points, win the head-to-head game. You kind of couldn't ask for anything more, right? I mean, is that how you feel? Losing to the Ravens, okay. Losing to Houston was tough the following week, but offense wasn't right. Allen had 9 completions in that game, but, you know, you're on the road at a division champion, and it's not like a gimme or anything. Still, that one hurt. And then the Rams, that high-scoring game later on in the season, but beating Kansas City, beating San Francisco. The games on the schedule that looked more like maybe the big ones or the hard ones at Detroit in that section of games, you know, near the end of the season, Chiefs, Niners, Rams, Lions. You get 3 of those. You know, crush the division again. Week 18, you don't need it. Otherwise, undefeated. Go to Seattle and win kind of easily. And still, that wasn't enough. I'm having a problem this offseason so far, just like thinking about them and talking about them in ways where that aren't just, okay, let's just sit here until January and try it again. I mean, I can't afford to do that. It's kind of what I want to do is just, you know, make your signings, make your draft picks, do what you got to do. James Cook, Benford, you do your things in the offseason. So will Kansas City, so will Baltimore, so will Cincinnati, everybody else. And then just as arrogant as it kind of is for to think about your team this way, just we'll talk in the playoffs. And Kansas City would have every right to do the same thing, or fans of the Chiefs would have every right to do the same thing, even more so, probably. But I talked to Sneaky Joe earlier. He came on for the reverse AFC power rankings and was citing some analysis where the Chiefs have done, you know, not much. They've come backwards in terms of changes to their roster, and the Bills really haven't. The Bills, in terms of a step back or not, why it would happen is turnover luck, is a stronger division than last year, which it fell apart, basically. There would be those two things. The rest of the schedule is just kind of as random as ever, probably. San Francisco did not end up being great. And we'll see what this year, maybe like Tampa will be great or something like that. Something we're not expecting. There's usually some of that. So just sort of the bounces and then the division would be, I think, two reasons to expect the Bills to have a tougher season. But like I said to Joe, they also did what they did without really throwing the ball down the field, hardly at all, very well. And there is that capacity here with this quarterback to be able to do that, as long as they want to do it and can scheme it and maybe Josh Palmer becomes like their one receiver who can really separate, like that'd help. So there is the chance on the other side of that coin that there's more for them. I think that's true of the Chiefs too, because they had, man, I'll just never get over it. They had that season despite like not being able to throw the ball really at all. And those close wins against terrible teams. It was bad enough the year before, trading Tyreek Hill and squeezing out that championship, going through the Bills here, and then the Ravens on the road, and then the Niners in overtime in the Super Bowl. Bad enough that that happened once. The next year, almost pulling off the same thing after a more trying regular season, it was a lot to take. I mean, is that really what would I have said last year, though? Is that really something that can happen again, that should happen again? Really interesting how both teams, like you could say to in different ways that they kind of got, they were lucky. But also, I think they're both, because of their quarterbacks, teams that could be better than they were last year, you know, in terms of points per game and yards, really, thinking about the Bills for this. Because Kansas City, the Bills didn't struggle at all to move the ball. I mean, they just did it in a different way than they had done it other times with Allen. They did it more through Cook last year, whereas Kansas City just didn't score. Anyway, a lot of offseason left. A lot more time to hash all these things out. If you would like to weigh in, feel free. 803-0550 is the number. Talking about trading up and down in the draft earlier, we'll maybe get to some more of that here. Going up until 6, and then it's the Sabres pregame show against Ottawa. Cody Carpentier will dig in on some of these prospects coming up in about 20 minutes. This is Mike Shope. Bulldog is off this week. Thanks for listening to WGR. Enjoyed talking to Mike Wilner about the current Blue Jays and the Blue Jays of 40 years ago. I don't know. I don't want to bore you with the more than occasional, perhaps, references to experiencing life now in my 50s, but I think it's normal. There are people older than me who could recite lineups of every team. You know, if you love it and you're immersed in it, then that's great. And I certainly have nothing negative to say about that. It really was me. I can do it a little here and there, but these Jays, you know, I sort of had, okay, right. Oh, Springer, right. Bichette, of course, you know, of course, Vlad. Yeah. I mean, I prepped for it. And even with that, I know a couple times I sort of stumbled my way into questions. But 85 Jays, let's go. Witt, Martinez, Upshaw, Garcia and Fernandez up the middle, Gruber, Garth Orge, Mullinix, maybe not Gruber yet. Garth Orge, Mullinix, Bell, Mosby, Barfield. It's like nothing. Steve Clancy, Doyle Alexander's 87, Jimmy Key, the late John Cerruti, Hanky Ward. It's just like nothing. That's never leaving my brain. I think 1985-6 major league rosters are just like in there, and their severance maybe will be never coming out. I just think they're never coming out. Sure, I'd like to be able to replace that with something more useful. Really, all I have to do to use that is what I'm doing right now, just sort of showing off that I can, like, oh, what a talent. This guy. Look, did you hear that? What a talent. The 85 Jays. I just love baseball for that, though. And the rabbit hole stuff on the reference sites where you pick a player or a team and then just find connections and takes you to magical places. Like Cesar Tovar we got to in our conversation with Mike pretty randomly. 803-0550, Cody Carpentier coming up top of the hour. Paul Hamilton at 6 as our pregame coverage of Sabres Senators begins. Puka Nacua, Rams receiver, claims he'll retire at 30. He's 25. I think that's totally reasonable. Good for him. Thinking ahead, certainly don't have to be that way. I know Marv Levy, and once you've decided to retire, when you're going to retire, you already have, or whatever the quote is. But I like a guy who can like step away. Money's great, fame, all of it. Takes a toll on you, though, right? I mean, of course. And here's a guy saying, I'm going to be done at 30. Fantasy-wise, I mean, doesn't mean anything yet to best ball or like redraft leagues, your normal leagues. Dynasty, it could. I don't think it does for me. It's still 4 or 5 years. Nacua in drafts, and I know it's sicko time for anybody who's drafting fantasy football now, but that's me. I own it. I got the 85 J's in my pocket, and you know this. That's kind of most of the list. My interests, that's most of the list. But what we're having this year is Ja'Marr Chase, then three running backs in some order. Barkley, Bijan Robinson, and Jahmyr Gibbs from Detroit. All of whom you can make a RB1, like super high-end case. I think Robinson especially. Barkley being older, I'm not as excited. Gibbs with Montgomery there, the offensive coordinator left. I'm not quite as excited, as good as he was last year. Robinson, I think, could be wheels up. If the quarterback can play, then he's shown the talent. I think that could be, you know, a huge year. So in a vacuum, one league, he would be the running back I want there. After that, it's seven receivers that I think you could reasonably put in any order, almost any order. How they usually go is about Jefferson, Lamb, Nico Collins, Puka, St. Brown, Neighbors, Brian Thomas. St. Brown is last on that list for me. Thomas and Neighbors are both so exciting, huge rookie years on teams where there is, you know, to varying degrees perhaps, quarterback uncertainty. We've got Jameis Winston in New York now. I don't know how much he'll play. They might draft somebody, but that should be exciting for Neighbors, like volume. Winston throws the ball. He throws picks. But, hey, you want his receivers on your fantasy team. So that's Neighbors, Brian Thomas, Lamb, Jefferson, Collins, I think are all great. Jefferson has so proven his excellence for Minnesota. It is another quarterback change. He's been through a few. And why people are so confident in him, no matter what the quarterback thing is for the Vikings, that team, that coach, makes it sing. And he was great with Kirk Cousins, great with Darnold, in between for pockets with Mullins and Josh Dobbs. Like, Jefferson has really seemed can't miss. I wonder with McCarthy if they're going to throw the ball as much, though. Those were desperate situations with the backups in there, and even with Darnold. But he can throw the ball, and they did plenty of that, and it was great for Jefferson. I'm just a little bit more cautious on him than I think most of my peers are. So Lamb at the top, Collins, I think, sky's the limit for Houston, and then Puka, and I don't know, Devontae Adams going there doesn't make, that's not great for his numbers probably. That can go either way. You know, a wide receiver too that takes some of the coverage away from your top guy can, obviously that can help. So we'll see. Cody Carpentier, NFL Draft, after the update here on WGR.